Our text for focus this morning is the Beatitudes, that Matthew text from chapter 5. It's probably a somewhat familiar passage that you've heard before if you've spent much time in the church, but I want to linger on it today, and I think it has great significance for us as we think about All Saints Day, but we also think about what it is to live today, what it is to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. And so what I'm going to do is actually work through it real quick and just make sure that we're all tracking with what Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes, and then we'll unpack kind of the two ways that it helps us to think about this life today. So as you look at the Beatitudes, that actually is the beginning of the largest single teaching section that we have in the Bible from Jesus. If you were to open it up at chapter 5 in Matthew and you've got one of those red letter Bibles, it's red letters for a really long time, uninterrupted actually. And so it's lots and lots of teaching. And so the Beatitudes is kicking off this major discourse on what it is to be a disciple, what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that he opens this up with what is arguably the least appealing set of directions. And what I mean by that is, you look through the Beatitudes, these are not popular things to strive for. That Jesus starts this off, and anyone who's got a good head on their shoulders and good business sense on what it is to be in this world would look at it and go like, Jesus, you're a little bit wrong on this. It's the wrong direction to go. And so what do I mean by that? He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. What? I'm sorry. Can we stop there? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what Jesus is talking about there is that somebody who is poor in spirit has humility before God. That to be the poor in spirit is to actually recognize that you don't bring anything to this relationship with God, and you have humility before him. That you own up to the fact that he's the one in charge and you ain't. But we live in a society that says, no, 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 take your destiny into your own hands. Pull yourself up by your bootstrap. And Jesus says, uh-uh. It's different than that. And he keeps going, blessed are those who mourn. No, that's wrong. Mourning is sad. It's an unpleasant thing to do, Jesus. You've clearly got this backwards. Now, when he says blessed are those who mourn, we think of it and we think of, like, have lost a loved one recently. But mourning, what Jesus is actually partnering it, it's connecting to an Isaiah text, and it's really this bigger concept of mourning, that the mourning is reflecting just a generally speaking pretty wretched situation in your life, that you're not mourning the loss of any one thing, you're actually mourning the injustices of society and the world around you that has not been going well. And so it's not only, it's worse than you would think it is, it's not just blessed are those who've lost a loved one recently, it's blessed are those who just have lost everything and have by and large been abandoned. Blessed are the meek. And this is humility toward others. We've already had that humility toward God, but blessed are the meek is someone who has humility toward others, that puts others above themselves. Again, not the way we're used to thinking of greatness, at least not the way that we're taught to think of it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That Mark stretch that we just did, we talked about what it looks to live in a righteous way and how counter that is to the way of this world, but seeking righteousness is living in a way where you're seeking to live out God's laws and live out his expectations for us. And when you do that, it oftentimes can be very difficult and challenging to live that way. Blessed are the merciful. And here, it's not just like, blessed are you because you said, I forgive you that one time when someone accidentally cut you off in line. It's a general disposition of mercy, that everything about your life, every time you approach someone else, you're offering up forgiveness. You're trying to see things from their own perspective. And when something happens that you don't understand or that you're frustrated by, you don't fly off the handle and immediately assume the worst of that person, but you try and take on their perspective. You try and think through what might be going on in their life and approach that with forgiveness. And even if they have done wrong, you still forgive them. Blessed are the pure in heart, that somebody who's seeking after God above all things, that you're not seeking after wealth or security, but you're seeking after God and what he desires and what he longs for in this creation. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemaking is difficult work at best. that oftentimes what it takes to be a peacemaker is to forego justice that you are rightly due. That oftentimes when we think of peacemaking, and I'm not talking about peacemaking in a truce where you have been utterly obliterated and you have nothing but to make a truce. I'm talking about when you have the upper hand, when you have the opportunity to strike back and to get justice for yourself. That peacemaking is to forego that and to seek resolution and to restore the relationship. Because when violence is done, when you respond with violence, what's the response usually? And that is what peacemaking is all about, is stopping the violence, stopping the retribution, and looking for a different way. And that's hard to do because peacemaking costs something for the peacemaker. And finally, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what a fascinating way to end this. Blessed are all of these things that typically we don't espouse, we don't drive for, we don't talk about. Blessed are these things. And when you do this really well, you might be persecuted for it. Blessed are you. And our gut reaction, even as disciples of Christ, our gut reaction might be to hear this and go, yeah, that's no. I'm sorry, Jesus. I just don't want to do that today. And I don't want to do it tomorrow either. And yet Jesus comes and he says, blessed are you. And so there's really two significant dimensions as we think about this call of Beatitudes, this blessing. And the first is right here and right now. That sometimes when we talk about this, we talk about these blessings and we say, it's not really that you're actually supposed to be blessed now. It's that someday things will be better. But when we start to see that this is the beginning of a massive teaching section, and in the middle of this teaching section, you have the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it actually does mean that we're supposed to be doing these things now. That these types of dispositions and attitudes are something we strive for in our daily lives. But not only that, but that good things do come from being meek, from being pure in heart, from seeking righteousness. It's not just some internal prize that we have. It's that good things can come and often do come when we live in a way that reflects the values of God's kingdom. It's not just something that we're waiting for. And those good things might be good things that happen in your life, or it could be good things that unfold in the lives of others. That when we live this way and bring the kingdom of God to this earth, blessings happen for so many people. But it's also not a guarantee, because sometimes when you live this way, persecutions happen, as Jesus ends. And he even ends the full section by talking about, if you want a great example of what it is to live as a child of God and to live this out, look to the prophets. And when you look to the prophets, they didn't always have the best go at life. And when I say didn't always, basically none of them had a great go at it. Things didn't go well for them because they were living faithfully. And so as we think about our lives, we strive to live faithfully, hoping that blessings will come, hoping to experience the good things that God has for us and giving thanks when that happens. But when things don't go well, we're okay with that too, because it's still the desire of God. I have two paintings, and they used to be in my church office, but nobody goes into my church office, so I don't hang them up in there. But it's Job and Jeremiah. And Job I have hanging on my wall because sometimes stuff happens, and you haven't done anything to deserve it. But I also have Jeremiah on my wall because sometimes stuff happens because you're doing everything the way you're supposed to be. I'm a very depressing man, apparently. But it's this great reminder that when sometimes things happen in our lives that are just bad because there is sin in this world, and sometimes things happen that are bad to us because we're doing what we're supposed to be. But keep in mind, I also have these things in an office with books, and I get to have a roof over my head and I eat every day, that there's also an incredible amount of good things that happen in my life and so many gifts that God gives to me. And so that all of those things come together to help me understand the Beatitudes and what it is to be blessed, that it's an unexpected reality today. But we also read the Beatitudes with an eye toward the future and what's coming. And that's really important that we do that, especially on those days where we're persecuted, especially on those days where we're mourning, not just general life circumstances, but also on this All Saints Day, the death of someone that we loved, that we cared for, that was near to our heart and significantly touched our lives, that on this day, Beatitudes speak a word of future hope, that it points our eyes towards something greater. And if you notice, all of those Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are pure in heart, blessed are those who seek righteousness. All of those Beatitudes, that's just, it doesn't end there. It always says, for theirs will be. That it has this future dimension that's attached to it. And while we hope that that dimension is here right now, we know that ultimately, this way of life will give its final blessing on that last day when Christ returns. And that is what All Saints Day is about. That it helps our eyes to see this world now, to be glad for the people that we have, that live this way and that have pointed us. How many of you can think of the people in your lives that have really been a significant model for faith and have been important in your life? I know, I didn't get approval for this, but the Salzburgs have someone who's been a significant person in Hosea's life here today. And it's great to make those kinds of connections and to continue to further that. And so we're thankful for your presence here with us. But who are those people in your life that you can be grateful for? But also, who are those people that have already fallen asleep? And whenever you think about those people who have fallen asleep, who rest in Christ, who we're waiting to see them again, we do that in hope. And it's important that we remember that this is a future thing because it gives us a space to be excited about what's going to happen when Christ returns, but it also gives us a space to be sad right now. Anyone who tells you, oh, you're a Christian, you can't cry, you can't be sad, send them to me and I'll very rudely tell them that they're absolutely wrong. Because we do grieve, but we grieve with hope of something more. When a loved one dies, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be happy about it. Oh, they're with Jesus. It means that we get to be sad, but we trust that they're with Jesus, that they rest, and that we will get to see them again. That's one of the great things about communion. I mean, I don't know if this railing was designed this way or it's just an accident of the architecture, but a lot of communion rails that are shaped in a U shape or a half circle, it's because it's meant to bring you into a greater understanding of what communion is about. That when we come up to communion, we gather together as the church here in this space. But we also remember all those who are communing with Christ, those around the world who are communing today, but also those saints in heaven who have gone before us, who join us at this incredible feast. That on the back half of the visible part of this U is the rest of the circle, and that we all join together. So as we come together for communion today, it's an incredible moment to celebrate the gifts that God gives to us and to do that with a hope of something more. And so we read these Beatitudes and we're driven to live in a way that is unexpected, that brings blessings to this world. But we also do it with the hope, we read the Beatitudes with the hope and understanding that the full blessings of God aren't here yet. And that's very frustrating and very difficult at times. And it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be sad and to struggle with that. But we do that in a context of hope as we long for the return of Christ when the fullness of the Beatitudes, that true blessedness, will finally be ours when heaven returns to earth in full. Amen.